Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. Today is Friday, April the 7th, and first, a word from our sponsors. A big thank you to my sponsor, Podbean. I use Podbean's hosting services for the Freedom Report podcast, and let me just tell you, it's been absolutely great. It's a wonderful home for this podcast. If you're considering starting your own podcast, Podbean offers an easy-to-use platform with all the tools you'll need. Now they make it even easier with the ability to record podcasts on the go with their podcast app. Record and publish right from your phone. If you want to give Podbean a try, go to podbean.com/freedom and you'll get 1 month free. That's podbean.com/freedom. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. As usual, you can find us on iTunes or on Stitcher. iTunes, you just go and type in the Freedom Report podcast if you'd like to download this and listen to it later. Or you can also alternatively download the Stitcher app if you have Android. But let me just say, like I said in the advertisement earlier, the best way to listen to this podcast is on the Podbean app. The Podbean app you can download on iTunes or on the Android, the Google Play store, and it's really the best way to listen to these shows. Some of us like to listen to us on Facebook, YouTube, whatever. I like to upload this everywhere just so you can listen to it. You can hear the Freedom Report audio podcast on any of your mobile devices in any way, shape, or form. But again, I do like the Podbean app the best. So let's get right to it. Today we have the news that yesterday there was an airstrike on Syria. It's allegedly in response to Syria's Bashar al-Assad allegedly using chemical weapons against his own people. Now, this airstrike consisted of about, 50 Tomahawk missiles that were launched against an airbase, which had negligible damage. I believe one of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff yesterday said that this did not significantly reduce the capacity of Syria to launch any form of chemical attack again in the future. Some people are saying it's not a war. Some people are saying this is not an act of war, which is just absolutely amazing. Of course, you will always have the war hawks or the sycophants or the apologists for the regime coming out to defend whatever action that any president does simply because it's them. So we're going to talk about some of the issues surrounding this. But first, let me just read the news story that I think is one of the most pertinent to this. And then I'm going to go through, I did kind of a tweet storm last night, as well as a few postings on Facebook that I'd like to share with you and extrapolate on what I mean, what I meant. And there was some people were sort of upset at some of the things that I was saying. So, you know, you have to understand, first of all, that I think it's important to maintain a sense of humor, even in the tragedy, in the midst of tragedy. It's also important to maintain the Constitution, to maintain due process, to make sure that we obey not just the law, but also the Constitution. Because, you know, what's funny is people say, well, this is legal what the president did. Well, just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's constitutional. And just because something is legal doesn't make it moral. A perfect example, of course, Jim Crow, perfectly legal for the government to discriminate, for the government to segregate, but totally immoral. And as we found out later in Supreme Court decisions, like the Brown versus Board of Education, for example, we discovered that of course this was also unconstitutional, and so we made it, then therefore it became illegal. So it's a problem when people start looking at what is legal to say what is moral or what is right or what is correct or how we should behave. And that's the problem, of course, because there's a famous Henry Kissinger quote that's made the circle. Some people claim it's fake, but I did double check to verify the authenticity of this quote. And I do believe it's true. and that is, of course, that the illegal we do immediately, the unconstitutional takes a little longer, right? And so people like Justin Amash, people like Rand Paul are coming out and saying that this is absolutely unconstitutional, and I tend to agree with them. But let me read this story to you, and then let's get into it and start breaking this down. This is from Fox News this morning. Syria missile strike. Rand Paul and Warren say Trump violated Constitution. Now, there's a loaded headline. Rand Paul alongside Elizabeth Warren. And I think a lot of people are going to be very uncomfortable now because they're going to find themselves agreeing maybe for the first time ever with Liz Warren. But thankfully, we got Rand Paul to balance out the crazy. Senators Rand Paul and Elizabeth Warren called President Donald Trump's decision to take military action against the Syrian government a violation of the U.S. Constitution. Paul of Kentucky and Warren of Massachusetts acknowledged the heinous nature of the chemical attacks that killed more than 80 civilians, many of them children, in Syria, believed to have been authorized by President Bashar al-Assad. But the senator slammed Trump's decision to use military force without the approval of Congress or the United Nations. While we all condemn the atrocities in Syria, the United States was not attacked, Paul said in a statement after news broke that the U.S. launched more than 50 Tomahawk cruise missiles on an airfield in Syria. Quote, the president needs congressional authorization for military action as required by the Constitution, and I call on him to come to Congress for a proper debate, Paul said. Our prior interventions in this region have done nothing to make us safer, and Syria will be no different. Let me just pause for a moment. Just remember, just 2 days ago, CNN was reporting Rand Paul and Donald Trump, best friends, because they played golf together to talk about overturning Obamacare. So now all of a sudden, are we going to see CNN turning around their stories and saying, oh, Paul, the loyal opposition in Congress, blah, blah, blah. Of course not, because as Donald Trump has been right on a few things, CNN is fake news. Moving on. Warren denounced the release of a deadly chemical bomb in Syria that killed dozens of civilians. But she said it did not justify Trump's decision to strike Syria without going through proper protocol. The Democrats care about the Constitution now. Quote, the Constitution gives the power to authorize the use of military force to the legislative branch, Warren said. Expanded military intervention in Syria requires action by Congress. If President Trump expects such an authorization, he owes the American people an explanation of his strategy to bring an end to the violence in Syria. We should not escalate this conflict without clear goals and a plan to achieve them. Announcing the assault from his Florida resort, Trump said there was no doubt Assad was responsible for the chemical attack. A White House official said more than two dozen members of Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, were briefed Thursday by the White House and cabinet officials. House Speaker Paul Ryan, the number three U.S. official, said he was among those informed. The War Powers Resolution, enacted in 1973, long after American troops began fighting in Vietnam, required the president to consult with Congress before sending U.S. armed forces into combat unless there had already been a declaration of war. The troops could not stay more than 90 days unless lawmakers backed the decision. The law also sought to give the president the leeway to respond to attacks or other emergencies, according to the Council on Foreign Relations. And it is that leeway that Presidents George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and now Trump have used to their advantage. Following the September 11th attacks in 2001, Congress gave Bush authority to attack any countries or groups involved in the attacks, which was generally accepted to mean Al-Qaeda. Obama used that same authority to fight the Islamic State militant group, which emerged in 2014 as an outgrowth of Al-Qaeda. Trump has used that same authority to continue military action in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. The Obama administration maintained in 2011 that the U.S. involvement in the months-long air campaign against Libya didn't require congressional permission because American forces were largely playing a supporting role as part of an international coalition. And of course, now we have all sorts of people jumping on top of that and saying that, yes, well, Obama did it, so that means that it's okay. No, no, that's not how this works, ladies and gentlemen. That's not actually how this works at all, at all. And, you know, I got a lot of traction. Now, keep in mind that some of these are tongue-in-cheek, but I honestly think that satire is one of the best ways to make a point. Satire and sarcasm are terrific ways to get people out of their bubble. It does make some people angry, and it does confuse people, but you can't always teach to the D students in class, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're a listener to the Freedom Report podcast, you know, I don't teach to the D students here. I'm teaching to the A students. I'm teaching to the B students. I'm teaching to the heads of class here. So you understand satire. A lot of people often on Twitter or Facebook, et cetera, don't get it. But just keep in mind, the tongue is firmly planted in cheek with some of these, and I'll try and break them down for you. The first one that I went yesterday, this had 2,000 almost shares on Facebook, was my first response to the bombing. And it was a joke. I said that I prefer the way that Gary Johnson bombed Aleppo to how Donald just did it. And of course, you know, that's a joke, right? Because we all know that Gary bombed Aleppo in the sense of not in the literal sense, right? In the metaphorical sense. But of course, it did get people talking yesterday about if Gary Johnson had been the president, would we have done this? Well, you can't bomb Aleppo if you can't find Aleppo. Right, right. This is gallows humor. Okay, so just chill out, ladies and gents, all right? And if you're offended, then you're definitely listening to the wrong show. But it does make one question. I mean, I expected differently from Donald Trump. People expected differently because we had different rhetoric. Between him and Hillary, Trump was considered the more non-interventionist candidate. And a lot of the people who are now jumping ship from the Trump administration, from supporting Trump, people like InfoWars, Paul Joseph Watson, Mark Cernovich, people who are hardcore Trump supporters are now jumping off because this was not what they supported. Now, anybody could have told you, of course, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And this is likely what we would see if we had a Trump administration, right? And we don't even know how Gary Johnson would have reacted, right? So it's impossible to tell. But it does make for an interesting case study now because you have all of these people who did, I would say, consider themselves non-interventionists who supported Trump. There was certainly a group called Libertarians for Trump, strangely enough. And these people thought that he would be different from Hillary. But that was one of the reasons why a lot of these people primarily supported Trump over Hillary, was because they thought that Hillary was going to get us into a war with Russia. And we saw the news today that the United States specifically bombed the air base that did not house Russian soldiers. That's good. But that's really what we're talking about here, right? The danger, because we didn't want to get into a war, a proxy war here, and then end up having to fight Russia. So that's the danger with these kinds of airstrikes. I mean, one errant missile, and all of a sudden, we've got a war with a first-rate power rather than some third-rate power like Bashar al-Assad. And that's what we're talking about here. That's what's at stake. Now, I said something yesterday, but it requires some explanation. Funny how some of the Republicans who opposed Obama's bombing of Libya are desperately justifying Donald's bombing of Syria. I mean, think about it. All of the people who were more than happy to attack Obama and his unconstitutional use of force in Libya, all of a sudden, so many of these same people appear to be using excuses like, oh, Obama did it, and they didn't give Obama the same leeway. It's straight partisanship, and war should never be a partisan issue. And so now I said the neocons who despise Trump suddenly found a reason to like him. Were the isolationist paleocons, though, they're not happy. I mean, a lot of the people who supported Donald Trump were paleoconservatives, right? The populists. And many of those people did not want an expanded war. They did not want expanded war in the Middle East. And they don't want more soldiers to die for no-win wars. And it's just interesting because the paleoconservatives, I say isolationists, because in the sense that they want to build a wall and they want to have tariffs and they want to stop immigration in some ways, that's where you get that tag from. It's an interesting little study in terms of philosophy, and I don't want to start breaking down what is a paleocon, what is a neocon, what is a libertarian, what is a conservative, true conservative, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do that in this show, but I just want to say that it's just interesting because now, of course, the people who didn't support Trump in many ways are looking at Trump and saying, oh, wow, here's a guy that we can get along with, right? I'm sure that the John McCains of the party are very happy with this kind of action. So it's interesting because now we see a shift in allegiances and alliances. And of course, I gave good old Alex Jones a hard time yesterday because the info warriors are part of the people who brought us Donald Trump. Thank you for that. another funny tweet. I said, nothing like a good old fashioned bombing to bolster those flagging poll numbers. Ouch. Yeah. Austin, get a little spicy. I got a little spicy last night. I got very spicy last night. Actually, very, very, very spicy last night. It's so spicy. Very spicy. And then of course what happens is that as soon as we, libertarians start speaking out against the next war, right? We're already against the next war. We're liberals, right? All day yesterday is when people started throwing accusations at libertarians that we're liberals. And then next week when they try and pass tax increases for whatever reason, all the libertarians will become conservative nut jobs again. I mean, that's what it means to be a libertarian is, if you're not being called a liberal, a leftist, an anarchist, a hardcore conservative, a neocon, in one day, you're probably not a libertarian, right? That's how you know you're a libertarian, when you get called all of those terms in one single day. But it's just amazing because, you know, of course, anybody who opposes unconstitutional wars must be a liberal, right? Someone said, well, this isn't a war. And I said, of course it's not a war. Wars require congressional authorization. This was what we call an unconstitutional airstrike. And we know this because Justin Amash tweeted, Congressman Justin Amash from the great Justin Amash of Michigan said that airstrikes are an act of war. Atrocities in Syria cannot justify departure from the Constitution, which vests in Congress power to commence war. And he tweeted saying, framers of Constitution divided war powers to prevent abuse. Congress to declare war, president to conduct war and repel sudden attacks. Now, I sometimes like to, moving on, I like to pick on Tommy Lahren, who's embroiled in a controversy, a bit of a brouhaha over at the Blaze right now. Looks like she's going to be out permanently, but she's still tweeting. She's not Facebooking, but she is tweeting. And she tweeted yesterday that President Trump is sending a clear message. The apology tour is over. We fight when you rattle our cage. Hashtag Syria attack. God, you can't see me right now, but I'm facepalming so hard. And so I responded to Tommy. I didn't say anything, Kurt. It wasn't trying to be sly or snide or snarky. All I said to Tommy was, Syria didn't attack us, Tommy. And boom, 2,407 likes, 1,385 retweets, 51 replies. You'd think that I burned her good. All I did was say the truth. Syria didn't attack us, right? She says, we fight when you rattle our cage. Okay, Tommy. Well, you know, the Syrians didn't rattle our cage, FYI. And people, of course, then they turn around and they say, oh, there were no casualties. There were no casualties. Well, first of all, there were casualties. And so just because something isn't a casualty doesn't mean it's not an act of war. So we'll talk about that in just a second. And then National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster says the strike in Syria did not stop Assad's ability to carry out future attacks. So what does this mean? I guess this means that we got to settle in for the long haul, lads. And that was retweeted by Ben Shapiro. And then I said, actually, the president doesn't have the authority to attack Syria without congressional authorization. And they say, yes, he does. He does because of the War Powers Act. That's supposed to be for an imminent attack. The president is supposed to be defending U.S. interests, which is why yesterday I took to Facebook to explain, because someone was saying, oh, look at all of these people who are suddenly constitutionalists, who don't know anything about war, who don't understand the law. Which is why I said, and then they started saying, well, Jefferson sent in ships to attack the Barbary pirates, and I had to have a little bit of a history lesson. Let's talk about that history lesson right now. Well, first of all, saying that if Jefferson did it, that makes it okay is a fallacy, right? That's an argument from authority. It's just not true. And the truth is that the Barbary pirates technically had declared war on the U.S., but it took 3 months for news to get back to the United States. You guys know we didn't have the internet back then, right? And Jefferson, furthermore, he sought and received congressional authorization to build the Navy, which were given orders to protect merchant shipping, right? He didn't send troops to bomb another country on a humanitarian mission. Jefferson was defending the lives of American sailors and merchant marines, also known as America First, right? Right. Somebody responded on Facebook to that comment. They said, Austin, I don't like you, but this is why we need more people of your ilk in control of the U.S. death machine. People of my ilk. Austin, I don't like you, but I would like to put you in control of the U.S. death machine. And I just had to respond to that. Thanks, I think. Right. And then, of course, my point later that I made last night, which is that I said there's a lot of phony humanitarians with guillotines out there who didn't give a damn about Syrian refugees, and now they care if they're gassed. Right? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The absolute hypocrisy of the people who have been saying, oh, no room for refugees. We gotta ban them. We gotta block them. No refugees. And then now all of a sudden we care about Syrian civilians. Right? We care so much about... Oh, now we care so much about the Syrian civilians. Bullshit. That's bullshit. You don't care. You're not a humanitarian for dropping bombs. Okay, you're just not. This isn't a humanitarian act. This is technically an act of war. That's what it is. So don't act all concerned. And now all the people are mad at me on the right. They're like, it's not the same thing. False equivocation. Oh my God. Austin, you want to let them come into my house? We don't believe in national security. Bullshit. That's what that is. You're not a humanitarian. We call you a humanitarian with guillotines. Read Isabel Patterson, Humanitarians with Guillotines. Look it up. one of the founding mothers of libertarianism. Humanitarians with guillotines also come in a climate change variety. Humanitarians with guillotines are the people who want to do good, and they will kill they will kill any amount of people to do good. Yes, so moving on. Let's see. Yeah, another tragedy. Let's throw the Constitution out of the window, I pointed out last night. Another gathering of fools ready to abandon constitutional processes and separation of powers. And also, I had to ask the question, wasn't the point of the United Nations that the United States wasn't going to have to be responsible for playing world's police? Whether or not you like the United Nations or not, George W. Bush at least went to the United Nations to ask for an international coalition to invade Iraq. You don't have to agree with the invasion of Iraq to at least think that at least this is a guy who is trying to seek multilateral agreement with these types of acts. No, so we're just going to send, you know, $50 million worth of Tomahawk missiles into Syria, bombing their, you know, state-on-state action, and think that, oh, there's not going to be any reprisal for this, and, you know, well, you know, screw the United Nations. Okay, fine, you know, but let's just pull out of the damn United Nations then. What is the freaking point? We pay billions of dollars to this multilateral institution. Now we're not even going to consult them? Okay, well then screw it. Let's pull out. I'm fine with that. But at least George W. Bush tried to follow through with what the point was of the United Nations. And frankly, I'm sick of being world's police. I am sick to death of Team America always having to solve every problem around the world. Oh, but this crisis is different, you know. America will always be America, and we should always follow the Constitution, unless we see sad pictures. Oh, we saw sad pictures, and they hurt our feelings and made our heart hurt, and now we have to act. Now we've got to go on a humanitarian bombing mission because we care so much about the Syrians, but don't let them in our country. Don't let any refugees in. Hypocrites everywhere. America first, cry the people who are cheering on the bombing in Syria. Right? And then I guess it leads one to ask the next question, right? So I guess the issue that many had with Obama's bombing campaigns was he didn't bomb enough and he didn't bomb the right people. And of course, then you still had people saying, well, this isn't an attack. Oh, this isn't an act of war. And then I posted a picture of the attack on Pearl Harbor and said, yes, if one government bombs another government's military installation, that is technically an act of war. Yeah. And then I actually retweeted for the first time in my life Ann Coulter last night. Ann Coulter, who posted, media thrilled that Trump is destroying his presidency. Ann Coulter says, meddling in the Middle East has destroyed every president who tried it. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, to follow that up, I tweeted that the Confederacy fired on Fort Sumter but inflicted no casualties. Despite that, the federal government still considered that an act of war. No casualties. Confederates attacked Fort Sumter. Nobody died, but was that not an act of war? Damn right it was. My good friend Danielle Butcher last night posted, oh, dang, I'm losing followers. Better start putting party before principles so people won't be uncomfortable. I get that quite a lot too, Danny Butcher, is that sometimes you say things that are unpopular and you start losing fans, you start losing followers because, you tweet like Tommy, I'll tweet my truth, right? I speak my truth. But people don't like that because if you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh or else they'll kill you. Which is why I try and make people laugh, right? Which is why I say I prefer the way Gary Johnson bombed Aleppo to the way that Donald did, right? Again, if you're going to make people laugh, you better tell. If you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh, or else they'll kill you. That's not an original AP quote, by the way. I stole that, I think, from Tom Woods. Senator Rand Paul for the win, coming in last night, tweeting, saying, "While we all condemn the atrocities in Syria, the United States was not attacked. Our prior interventions in this region have done nothing to make us safer in Syria." Will be no different. Another question that I asked last night that got a lot of traction was, so after we topple Assad, what's the plan? Right? Because if you remember what happened in Iraq, we toppled Saddam Hussein and then we disbanded the Iraqi military and then they all went off and joined, you know, rebel forces. Some of them joined ISIS. Some of them joined Al-Qaeda. So pro tip to the president, if we do end up toppling Assad, just don't disband the Syrian military. Probably an unwise move, just FYI. Not that we really need to be in there at toppling Assad, but you know, learn the lessons of history, ladies and gentlemen. Learn the lessons of history. And like I said, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's constitutional. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's moral. Now, I'm getting a lot of crap for this tweet that I posted this morning, and people are just always taking stuff too literally. But it is a joke to call into question this tweet that I posted. I said, if it's justifiable to bomb someone because they poison their own people, why has no one targeted Flint, Michigan? Oh, and that made a lot of people angry. Charles C.W. Cook at the National Review, the editor of the National Review today, didn't like that. He just tweeted one word back at me, just my name, Austin, dot, dot, dot. He doesn't like that. It's a joke, fam. Take the joke, all right? It's a little gallows humor to get you thinking. But did the government not, maybe by accident, poison a few people in Flint, Michigan? It does make one question, right? Like bomb Flint. But wait until Michael Moore is there. Okay, just kidding. Just kidding, guys. Freaking, hey. All right. So we went through the tweet storm last night, and it seems to be fairly popular. I actually didn't lose fans last night. I actually gained a bunch of fans. So I'm like, hell yeah, sometimes speaking the truth can be politically popular. So I guess I made enough people laugh, right? A lot of people were angry at me. A lot of people are still angry at me. I mean, they're still tweeting like, Austin, you're an idiot. Oh my God, you never run for president again. I'm a DJ in South Florida who makes 20 grand a year, and I'm going to tell you that you don't run for president again. Like, okay, bro, okay. Slow your roll. You're lucky because I'm probably not going to run for president again. So if you don't like me, then don't worry about it because I can't imagine a more horrible job. And trust me, running for president is a nightmare. So I would not expect to see me on the debate stage anytime in 2020. Don't look for me, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry if I'm breaking some hearts right now. I just, I don't want to just be the guy who perpetually runs for president because you say, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to keep doing it for, no reason. I did it last time because I thought we needed it. And I would only ever do it again if I thought my country really needed me. And in 2020, I don't know. I don't think that it's going to be the right timing for me. You know, pretty arrogant, borderline egotistical, they might say, just to run for president to do it. I don't think that's quite the way to go. But anyways, so yeah, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think that this was an unconstitutional act? Do you think that this was immoral? Do you think it was illegal? Do you understand the difference between what is illegal, what is unconstitutional, and what is immoral? Well, I sure do, and I hope that you will. I hope that you will join me in bringing some reason and logical debate to this conversation because we just need it. We just need it. Right now, it's if you don't support bombing the country, you must support Assad using chemical weapons against his own people. That's what people are saying. Well, if you don't like this, then you're that. If you're not with us, you're with the terrorists. If there are two types of people in the world, people who engage in black and white thinking and people who don't. Get it? All right, I'll leave you with that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. Lots of exciting news coming up. I will be at the University of Iowa on the 11th. I'll be on April 11th. I'll be heading to the University of Iowa in Iowa City, driving there, 5-hour drive, but whatever. It's going to be a good time. I'll head out there on the 11th. So if you guys are in Iowa or near Iowa City or even in Des Moines, and when you would like to come out and hear me speak, that'll be on April 11th at the University of Iowa. You can find me. The details are on my event page. Then on April 15th, dun, 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 tax season, I will be at a gun show of all places in Carthage, Missouri, the Liberty Tree Gun Show. I will be speaking as well. It's going to be a fun event. So check those out on my event page on Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/producerPeterson. If you're listening to me on Facebook right now, of course, you're already there. So I appreciate it. So maybe if you want to do me a favor today, maybe just invite some friends to like my Facebook page. That would be great. Follow me on Twitter at AP4, the number 4, Liberty. That's Twitter at AP4Liberty. All right. And do me a favor. Share this live stream if you're listening to us live on Facebook. Very grateful for all your support, ladies and gentlemen. Stay free.